You may be seated. There was this couple that were in their upper 70s. We'll call them Jack and Jill, okay? And they were realizing that their health was starting to deteriorate and that they were forgetting things more and more. And they were bothered enough by it, they decided to go to their doctor to get checked out. So they went to the doctor's office to get checked out, and the doctor does his thing, and after he's done, they realize that everything's fine. The doctor says, you're all good. There's nothing wrong with you. And they're like, well, what about our memory? Why do we keep forgetting things more and more? And he's like, well, here's something you can do. You can, when you think of something, write it down to remind yourself so you don't forget it. And they're like, okay. So they took that tip. They went home. Later that night, they're sitting in their living room watching TV. And Jack gets up, and Jill is like, hey, where are you going? He's like, I'm going into the kitchen to get a snack. And she's like, well, hey, can you get me a bowl of ice cream? And Jack says, yes, I'll get you a bowl of ice cream. And Jill says, well, don't you want to write that down so you don't forget? He's like, no, I'll remember that. And then Jill's like, well, I want strawberries on it. You better write that down. He's like, no, I got it. You want ice cream with strawberries. And then Jill's like, well, I also want whipped cream on it. Don't forget that, and you better write it down. He's like, nope, I got it. I will get you a bowl of ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream on it. So Jack goes on into the kitchen, comes back 20 minutes later, and hands Jill a plate of bacon and eggs. And Jill says, you see, I knew you would forget. You forgot the toast. So the question is, does anyone have a hard time remembering things? Does anybody ever forget things? You need to be reminded. Well, you know, the ability to remember is actually a gift of God. If you think about it, the ability that we have to go back into our past and think about, you know, the day that we were married, or the day our first child was born, or and our next child, or whatever, or your grandkids, when your grandkids were born, or that time that you hit a big three-point shot in that sectional championship. Okay, that was me. But we have pictures and stuff, you know, to remind us of those things. And it's important to remember because it reminds us of special times in our lives and things like that. And, you know, memory is something we can take for granted until we can't remember. You know, and memory is also a practical thing. If you think about it, we remember when we get to a stop and go light that red means stop, green means go, and yellow means I got floored again. So you get through before, you know, the red light comes. But yeah, so memory can be a practical thing. And the Bible passage for today really shows us something here about what God considers important. And he considers us remembering important, remembering things that he has done for us. And so something I like to do when I get these bigger chunks of scripture, and it's a tip for you to use too, I like to break these passages down into smaller sections to help understand it better. And that's kind of what I've done today. If you've noticed that, I like to do that in my outlines for these sermons a lot. I like to break down the passage and kind of go through it like that, and so it's in smaller chunks. And so let's take a look at the passage we have for today. It's Joshua chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. And before I read this, I want to get you up to date. So what's happened so far is they've gotten to the Jordan River. And Pastor talked about this last week. And the priests with the ark, as soon as they stepped into the Jordan River, God stopped the river. And the ground became dry, so they could walk through it. And so the priests with the Ark of the Covenant, which holds the Ten Commandments, are standing in the middle as all the Israelites pass over on dry ground. And this would have taken a while, by the way, because there's probably a million or more people that were doing this. So when the last people finally got over, God commanded them to do something. And let's pick up in Joshua chapter 4, verse 15. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. So what we've got here, the first bullet point in your outline. God commands Joshua, tells him to do something. Joshua obeys and commands Israel to do something, and Israel obeys. Now, this is a big thing for the Israelites, to obey and do what God says, right? And so what happened here is as soon as those priests with the Ark of the Covenant stepped up out of the Jordan River, after everybody had passed through, the river came back down and was back to normal. It's amazing what God has just done for them. They are now in the promised land, just like he promised them. Let's go on in our text. Verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. Now, this is one of those verses that may seem like it's insignificant. There's not anything there. But there's something huge in this short verse here. I'm going to point it out again here. They came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Why is that important? Again, God's word shows us that it is one. Because you know what happened to the day, 40 years before this day, they were in Egypt. God had initiated the 10th plague on Egypt because the Pharaoh would not let his people go. And he commanded his people to go get a lamb. Couldn't be any lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb without blemish, clean. They were to eat that lamb that night and then take the blood from that lamb and paint it on their doorposts. And the angel of death would pass over them and they were saved. The Israelites would have immediately remembered the 10th day of the first month is when they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. And now, exactly 40 years later, they're standing in the promised land just like God had promised them. You see, this is what's so amazing about God and his word. And we've been talking about this in Revelation and how the whole Bible is together. And it's just one thing. You see, God hasn't changed. God's been the same from the very beginning. The theme of the blood and the lamb way back in the Passover is huge. Because it's connected by what? The crimson thread. And of course, that event reminds us that the Lamb of God shed his blood on the cross for each and every one of us. And it's interesting, the Lamb is a huge theme in the Bible. Anytime you see it, pay attention, because we've been talking about this in Revelation 2. You know, the most used title for Jesus in Revelation is the Lamb. The Lamb is reigning on the throne. No matter what's going on here on earth, no matter what judgments are going on here on earth, we don't have to be scared of any of those things in Revelation because the Lamb is already reigning on the throne. In fact, Revelation even says the slain Lamb. You see, God hasn't changed. He's the exact same throughout all of Scripture. His word is one. You know, God knows that we need reminders. And sometimes, I like to think about it as God's post-it notes. And sometimes, if you're at all like me, you need to have a post-it note stamped directly on your forehead so you don't forget something. God's post-it notes, they're all over. Let's take a look at verse 20 of Joshua chapter 4. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. So this place that they're camping at Gilgal, they set up some stones. Now, why 12? I have a picture here of it. One guy from each of the 12 tribes of Israel grabbed a stone. Now, when we think of stone, we usually think of, you know, smaller things. But these are bigger, good-sized rocks, really. Each one of the 12 guys took one of these rocks out of the Jordan River, and they stacked them up, you know, kind of like this, at that spot. Why? Because God wanted them to remember what happened on this day, the 10th day of the first month, which would remind the people that this is the day they crossed over the Jordan on dry ground because God stopped the river. Not something you see every day, by the way. And they are in the promised land now because God keeps his promises. They would be reminded of it every time they saw these 12 stones. And like I said, God wants us to remember his faithfulness and how much he loves us and how he's always there for us. My next picture is a picture of a rainbow. I don't know if anybody saw it a couple days ago. We saw it at our house, a beautiful rainbow. And God put this rainbow in the sky to remind Noah and his family that he would never destroy the world with a flood again. You see, he had gotten so sick of all the sin in the world and what had happened, he decided to wipe it out and start over with Noah and his family. And so every time Noah and his family would see the rainbow, they would be reminded of what God did for them. They would be reminded of God's mercy, that they were saved on the ark through those waters. And then I can guarantee you, when they multiplied and Noah's family, you know, became bigger and bigger, more and more people, they would tell people generation after generation. The only way those kids and grandkids would know is if somebody told them what happened. Whenever they see this rainbow, they would be able to tell them what God had done and how God had mercy on his people still. The next picture, we have baptisms. That's me, the baby, being baptized by my dad in 1975. Now, it doesn't matter whether you were baptized as a baby or as a kid or an adult, no matter when you were baptized, this is a great thing for us to remember. And it's great that we have pictures to remind us of those things. That's the day that I came into God's family. That's the day that God gave me the gift of faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the day I like to explain it to my kids. You know, God put his tattoo on us, the tattoo of his divine name on us. We are sealed. We are his. It's good to remember our baptisms every day. Remember that our sins have been washed clean because of what Jesus did. The next picture. This is a picture of me on my confirmation day. Can't you see the utter joy and excitement that I am expressing here, that I am confirming my faith that I received at my baptism? I'm a little more excited now than I was then. But that's confirmation. That's what confirmation is. You know, the chance to remember our baptisms, remember the faith that we were given at our baptisms. The next picture, that's a picture of Zara and I on our wedding day. This is in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And in the background, you can't see it as good on this picture, but some of our other pictures, there was an alligator swimming in that lagoon, they call them there, because it sounds better than pond. And now, see, I wouldn't remember that if I didn't have this picture. But it reminds me, this picture of Zara and I, of God's faithfulness, that he was faithful to me and giving me a wonderful wife. And then he blessed us with four girls. It reminds me of God's faithfulness. And then this next picture, the bread and the wine. Of course, we get to celebrate that here in a few minutes. Communion. Jesus even said, do this in remembrance of me. Our altar says, in remembrance of me. Jesus at that Last Supper took the bread and the wine, gave it to his disciples and told them, this isn't just bread and wine. This is my body. This is my blood. Every time we receive communion, we are receiving Jesus' body and blood with that bread and wine, and we're reminded of how much Jesus loves us, how much he loves us that he died on that cross for us. And God uses that meal to strengthen our faith, which is another amazing miracle. Let's get to these last verses here in Joshua chapter 4. Verses 21 through 24. And he said to the people of Israel, Joshua did, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I have a question on the next slide here for you. How will you answer your children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces or spouse or friend or neighbors or coworker or whoever when they ask you about Jesus, the stone? How will you answer them? That's why God wanted them to put this 12-stone memorial up. Then whenever kids would come by and say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, hey, Grandpa, hey, Grandma, what's up with these 12 random rocks here? They told them about God's faithfulness and how much he loved them, and God keeps his promises. Yes, God wants us to remember. That's why we gave everybody one of these. And if you haven't got one, come get it. To put up in your houses, to remind yourselves whose house this is and who you serve in this house. So when someone comes to your house, how will you answer them? When they say, hey, what's that about? Who is this Jesus guy? Last question I have for you this morning is, why does HCA matter? Home court advantage. Why does this matter? Why are Pastor and I doing an 11-week sermon series on this? Why did we make these books and give them out to everybody? Why does it really matter? Why are we spending so much time on this? Well, that's answered for us here in verse 24, if you caught it. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So why does HCA matter? It matters because when we're talking about Jesus and his word with our home team and our homes are becoming stronger. It has to start in our homes. Because if it doesn't, our society will eat us up. Our homes will become stronger, and then when we go out, we will be stronger when people ask that question, how will you answer? When somebody asks you about Jesus, you will be able to boldly say, Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and your sins. You see, the same goes for our church, our home team here at Promise. The more we are together and talking about God's word, talking about Jesus and what he did for us, the stronger we will become as a church. And then when we go out and when God opens those doors for us to share our faith with somebody, we will be able to boldly confess. And our country could definitely use God's word, couldn't it? Yes, it could. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, you are truly worthy of our praise. and the only one who is worthy of our worship. We thank you for always keeping your promises. We thank you for the gift of faith that you gave us at our baptisms. We come before you today asking for you to be with all those who are in the hospital, those that are sick, depressed, or just flat out struggling. We also bring before your throne all those prayers that are on the prayer cross in our hallway. Please be also with all those brothers and sisters in Christ, like those in Afghanistan and China, who are suffering persecution and execution because they are boldly proclaiming your name. Remind them that you are always with them by their side, no matter what happens in this world. We pray for some type of peace in our country and world, the peace that only you can give. Be with our leaders. Father, it can be so frustrating at times seeing what is going on in our country and our world. Remind us that you are the one who is really in charge and that the Lamb is reigning on the throne already. Above all, remind us and don't let us ever forget or take for granted how much you love and care for us. You loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus, who shed his blood on the cross for all our sins. And because of that amazing love, we will be with you in heaven one day. You are truly the God who was and is to come. We now pray the prayer that your Son, the stone, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Sing those words.
You are my everything, and I
creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Night when Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body, it's broken for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And then the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and drink.